Hi, welcome to this week's Shahiro's Chatcast. Today we have a very special guest, Sabrina Steerwalt, a postdoctoral astrophysicist. She's one of the 2014 L'Oreal USA for Women in Science Fellows, one of five female scientists selected from a national pool of more than 650 applicants who have made outstanding contributions in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. She is the only astronomer to be selected as a fellow during the program's 11-year history. And on top of that, this past year's fellows were chosen based on their commitment to serving as role models for younger generations. She also hosts a podcast where she shares tips and tricks related to science called Everyday Einsteins. We are so excited to have her on Shahiro's Chatcast today to talk girls and women in STEM, stars, galaxies, and a whole lot more. So thanks for joining us and let's get started.
Welcome to the Shahiro's Podcast. We want to empower young girls of all backgrounds to dream big, explore their interests, and passionately pursue non-traditional careers. On the Shahiro's Podcast, we hope to help girls imagine their own potential by sharing the stories of exceptional, successful women role models across all fields, like Sally Ride. We believe if you can't see it, you can't be it. Welcome to the Shahiro's Podcast.
Thank you so much, Sabrina, for being on with us today. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, well, thank you for taking the time out of your very busy schedule. Let's just get started by asking you, tell me about your childhood and kind of how you found your way into astrophysics. Was it always your passion, or was there kind of a specific moment that you looked up at the stars and decided that that's what you wanted to do?
So you hear a lot of stories about astronomy. Saying I had a telescope and as a kid, or always knew that I wanted to do something with space because it always fascinated me. But I was definitely not one of those kids. I didn't have a telescope in my yard. I didn't come from a very sciencey or academic family. I lived in the city, so there were very few stars that I could even see. And so for me, what it was really about was I liked trying to solve problems. I like being able to come up with a question and then try to find the answer. And that is what a lot of science is all about. And once I started taking astronomy classes, it wasn't really until I went to college that I started taking astronomy classes and learning about galaxies and worlds beyond our own that I became really, really interested in astronomy and decided that that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be an astrophysicist.
Now, astrophysics is not an easy field to pursue. So even if you were just a little bit older, what were some of the big challenges you faced once you did decide to follow that as a career path?
For me, one of the challenges I faced was that as I mentioned, I don't come from a super sciencey background, and I was among the first in my family to go to college even. And so when I got there, I felt right away like I didn't fit in. I was taking science and math classes, but I was one of the only women in my classes at all. Sometimes the boys didn't want to do homework with me because I was a girl, and I didn't have any female teachers. I didn't have any women as professors in physics or in astronomy. And so it wasn't even until I decided to get my PhD and go on to graduate school past college, that's where I actually first saw a woman doing science, who was my science, my PhD advisor, my first real science mentor. So I think that one of the obstacles I faced early on was just not seeing people that look like me doing the things that I wanted to do. And you hear over and over that girls aren't supposed to be good at math, girls aren't supposed to be good at science. And even if someone doesn't tell you that directly, we still hear that message in subtle ways. We see that, for example, I have a 2-year-old daughter. If I try to buy her a T-shirt, all the boys' T-shirts have robots and dinosaurs and all these cool science things on them, whereas the girls' T-shirts have flowers, which botany is pretty cool, but, you know, more sparkly, less science-y things for the girls. And so you see a lot of this dichotomy that we separate early on, and we send the message over and over that science is is for boys, but that's not actually true. And for girls who want to do science and want to do math, we sometimes have to work a little bit harder because we don't always see women that look like ourselves, people that look like ourselves doing the science. And so we just have to work a little harder and remind ourselves that science is for us too. Science is something that I can do just as well as the boys can. And I think for me, when I was growing up, I didn't really like being told what to do. And some people who know me well would probably say that I still don't like being told what to do. But I think that helped me foster an interest in science because I said, you think I'm not going to be good at math because I'm a girl, but that doesn't make sense to me. Why wouldn't I be good at math just because I'm a girl? And so that really gave me an extra push to want to prove people wrong and want to show people that I can do this just as well. And so that was one of the things that sort of lit a spark in me when I was younger, too.
Definitely. I personally can kind of relate to that a little bit. So tell me about when you said that you didn't really have a mentor in science, a female mentor, until you were in grad school. Tell us a little bit about your advisor who was kind of, sounds like she may have been the first Shahiro that really inspired you to continue on with science. What was it like finally kind of coming across someone who did look like you, kind of as you said, and what were some of the ways that she did inspire you to keep going?
Yeah, so my thesis advisor, Martha Haynes, she's definitely a Shahiro. She was one of the first women to really make a path for women in astrophysics, especially in the area of radio astronomy, which is the kind of astronomer that I am. And she was one of the first women to really pave the way for the rest of us to come along. And she was just a fabulous mentor because she never expected anything less of me just because I was a girl, obviously. And she also gave me one of the best pieces of advice that I've ever gotten, which is she always said, if it were easy, someone else would have done it already. And that is something that I remind myself when I'm having trouble with something, when I'm really stuck on a problem. Doing science is all about finding answers to questions that are unknown. There's no answers in the back of the book that you can look up to see if you got it right. It's really just pursuing the unknown. And the big thing that Martha did for me was to teach me to be comfortable with that, to be comfortable with not knowing the answer all the time and just really enjoy the process of finding those answers. One of the things that I like best about my job is that I go in almost every day and do something that I don't know how to do. And a lot of people aren't comfortable with that, but that's what science is all about. You go in and you test things and you try to find answers to things that you don't know. And I think that what I do know how to do is approach problems and try to solve problems.
Well, that kind of brings me into my next question. You were your 2014 L'Oreal USA for Women in Science Fellow. And I was reading you're the only astronomer ever chosen in the 11-year history. So I wanted to ask, what was that like? And as kind of a follow-up, I read that you're going to be using the funds or have been using the funds to research, continue your research into how small galaxies form. So what was it like becoming a fellow for the L'Oreal USA for Women in Science, and also kind of how has that pushed your research since then?
Yes, I am so lucky to be a L'Oreal for Women in Science fellow here in the U.S., and the whole experience has been amazing. The folks over at L'Oreal are super helpful, super wonderful. They really just want to promote women in science, and their message is science. Women need science and science needs women. And I think it's just so fantastic when you go. So as part of winning this fellowship, they brought the fellows, my year of fellows, to the L'Oreal Research Labs. And you see there's about 70% of their research scientists working at L'Oreal are women, which is usually the opposite of what you see out in other scientific labs. You see a different gender split. And so it's really great just to see women doing science together. And part of the L'Oréal Fellowship that was new this year, they took us to Washington, D.C. to meet with women who work on science policy, so women in the Office of Science and Technology Policy, and just talk to them about how can we make the climate better for women in science? What can we do to improve, all the obstacles that women face in science? What can we do to start breaking some of those down? And it was just really fantastic to sit in a room with a bunch of scientific-minded women and brainstorm ideas on how to improve things for other women. But as part of the L'Oréal Fellowship, it's a research grant, and so I'm using the money to continue my research. I'm starting a program called Tiny Titans, which is about interacting dwarf galaxies. So dwarf galaxies are galaxies that are shrunk down, so much smaller than the Milky Way galaxy that we live in. And I want to know what happens when two of these things collide into each other, because galaxy collisions happen a lot, and they actually happen a lot more as you go back in time early in the universe. So understanding what happens when two galaxies smash into each other is really important, because a lot of the galaxies that we know today, even our Milky Way, was formed from the collisions, the buildup of lots of smaller galaxies. And so this tells us about how stars form, how structure forms in the universe, and it all gets back to our origins, where do we come from? And I just think it's so fascinating that I get to look at these dwarf galaxies. So they're called dwarf galaxies, but they're still pretty big compared to the size scales that we know and can relate to. But I get to look at what happens when these galaxies smash into each other, because you get intense bursts of star formation, you get all of this gas and dust being compressed, and you can get the triggering of lots and lots of activity that way. And we've studied really extensively what happens when massive galaxies, so galaxies more like our Milky Way, when they collide into each other. We've studied that process a lot. But dwarf galaxies are smaller. They don't have as much gravity, so sometimes it's harder for them to hold on to their material like a big galaxy can do more easily. And so the process is probably quite different in these smaller galaxies. So it's really important to figure out what that process is and to understand it as well as we do for more massive systems. Plus, I just, like smashing things into each other, so I get to do that on galaxy scale.
That is so awesome. I actually had to ask about it because I was telling my kids who I was going to be talking to today, and that was one of the things they both started asking about, was like, well, what are dwarf galaxies? What are
Oh, fantastic. So dwarf galaxies,
so awesome.
they pack a smaller punch individually because they're smaller, but they vastly outnumber the more massive galaxies. So like our Milky Way is actually surrounded by 30 to 40 tiny dwarf galaxies. And so the dwarf galaxies win by the numbers. And so it's really
continuing kind of on talking about fellowship. I had also read that one of the changes the L'Oréal, the USA for Women in Science Fellowship had made in 2014 was that candidates were additionally going to be evaluated on their commitment to supporting women and girls in science. So you had already what you were doing that led you were already doing to support girls in science and women in STEM.
Sure. So one of the things that I think is really important is for young girls to see other women doing science. And so one of the things that I do here in Charlottesville, Virginia, where I'm based now, is we have an inflatable planetarium. And so this is a planetarium that can fit 20 or so people, and we bring it into communities where you wouldn't normally have access to something like that. And the people of all ages, we have a community star party that attracts people of all ages. We also take it to schools, public libraries. This week I'm taking it to the Boys and Girls Club, and students can come, kids can come, and we give them, you know, a tour of the universe, a tour of the solar system inside the planetarium, and just talk about how planets form, how stars form, why the night sky looks the way it does, why do we have the seasons, why are the days longer in the summer, all sorts of things like that you can just see really well visually with the planetarium. And always there's screams of screaming and excitement inside the planetarium because it's just really cool as well to see it projected up on the dome. And I do that with a program here called Dark Skies, Bright Kids. And another portion of that program is we do an after-school program for students in both in the city schools here as well as in more rural schools that are further out. And so they have a lot of great dark skies, but not a lot of programs to actually look at those skies. And so we go into these schools. We do an after-school program. One of my favorite things that we do with them is on the first day, we target 4th to 6th grade. So this is around the age where we start to lose kids in science because they think it's too hard, it's not cool, because some of my science classes were pretty boring because we're stuck with the same old exercises. And so we try to go in there and do fun science experiments, get them interested in astronomy. And we especially lose girls at this age because we just have a accumulation of all these messages that, well, I'm probably not going to be good at science, that just start to build up. And by the time we're 10, they're weighing down on us a lot. And so we try to go in there, show them women doing science, and also just show them that science is super awesome and explains anything we want to ask about our universe. In order to investigate that, you need to use science. And so one of the things we do on the first day is we ask all the kids to draw a scientist, and you get a lot of pictures of, you know, old white guy in a lab coat with crazy hair. And some scientists do have crazy hair, but the cool thing about that is that then we have them do it again on the last day, and then you see a lot more variety in their pictures, and they actually start to reflect the students themselves and the diversity among the students themselves. And so one of my big goals with that work is just to show these kids that I'm a scientist and you can be a scientist too.
Actually, that kind of brings me into my next question, which is, what has been the most rewarding moment of your career so far and why?
Oh, that's a tough question. I mean, it's hard because I've had a lot of rewarding moments. I think it feels super rewarding when I give a talk to present my research results, and because that always makes me really nervous. Talking in public makes me really, really nervous. And when I get up there and I'm defending my work, I'm presenting the research that I've done, I'm defending it, and then I get questions from the audience, and then when I can answer those well and I feel like people are interested in the question that I've posed, the research topic that I've come up with, and they think it's cool, the stuff that I'm finding. And so I find that really rewarding when I give a good talk, despite the fact that I was really nervous going in, and people say, hey, that was a great talk, or hey, I learned a lot. I find that really rewarding. I also find it rewarding when I can mentor students and then see them have the same experience, see them work really hard on a project and then present that to a group of people, or even if they're just talking to their friend about it, and see them get really excited about their project and see all that hard work that they did come to a really cool result or a really cool conclusion. Because let's face it, you still have to do some hard work to get there, but when you do get there, it's just really exciting.
Okay, my last question is the same question I always end all my interviews with, which is, what is the most important piece of advice you have to offer girls today who are on the verge of following not necessarily a path in science, but whatever their passion is? What's the single most important piece of advice you'd like to share?
I think my single most important piece of advice is just don't let anyone tell you that physics is for boys. It's just not true. Physics is for everyone. Physics describes our world. It's how we understand our surroundings, and it is so, so awesome. I think I have the best job in the world. I get to go in every day and just ask a question about the universe and try to answer it. And so I think that we don't get new ideas and innovation from the same old thought processes and doing the same old thing. And so we really need more women in science because they bring in different perspectives and new ideas. And so don't let anyone tell you that physics is for boys.
Oh, I love that. That's absolutely perfect and just the kind of message we want to share. I want to thank you again so much for taking the time to chat with us today, and I look forward to seeing what you do in the future. And I also wanted to mention you host a podcast, correct? Everyday Einsteins?
Yeah. So I have a weekly science podcast called Everyday Einstein. You can find me at www.quickanddirtytips.com, or you can download it at itunes.com/QDT for Quick and Dirty Tips. And it's not just astronomy. It covers a range of science topics. And so that is super fun for me because I get to learn about these topics and read scientific papers and other subjects and then present on them. And if there's a topic that you want to hear about, you can write send me an email, and so that's totally happened before, and I get emails from listeners, and they say, hey, I was interested in this, or I saw this science result, and it confused me, and so then I do a podcast on it. So it's been really fun because I just like communicating science and not presenting science as something that's hard or scary, but something that we do every day. We use science every day, and so that's why I'm the Everyday Einstein.
Oh, I love it. And we will include the links and everything in the podcast as well, so people can be sure and follow
you
and give it a listen when we publish this podcast.
Great.
So thank you so much again, and best of luck to you, and I hope that we get a chance to chat again soon.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Okay. You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the She Heroes podcast. Please join us again, and don't forget to visit us on the web at www.sheheroes.org. See you next time.